For Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Great to have your company here on Sports Day. Carl Langdon and Mark Reddings with you. So much news to go through. We've got all of the teams. The footy's underway. What a game it's been. 3-5 to 3-4. Oscar McInerney's taken a ripping mark in the clash so far tonight. Jackson Archer's rung his old man, Glenn, who was a stalwart for North Melbourne. That was quite emotional. We've got Tim English's deal finally being revealed. We knew a month ago that the deal had actually been done for a couple of years, but only the official announcement today. And we've got all of the teams kicking off with Friday night footy, West Coast against Essendon, and of course the Western Bulldogs and the Hawks. And Scott Morrison is now gone from our Perth Wildcats. Mark Reddings, there's so much to talk about tonight.
Yes, good evening, Carl. You've left the biggest story till last. Yes, no question, the biggest story in Perth today. Scott Morrison resigning. One season in, they've lost their CEO, who was sacked, and they've lost their coach, who's resigned. The Perth Wildcats, and let's be honest, Eagles, Dockers, and then the Wildcats, clearly the second most prominent winter sport or sport that has got members and a real identity. I mean, we talk cricket in cricket season, but the Big Bash still very young in its lifespan compared to, say, 35 years of the Wildcats. So this is a big story with the Wildcats. And former players are concerned about the future, the direction of the club. Are you, the supporters, 133-882, Scott Morrison, we believe, heading back to North America in part because he has a child that has some challenges and requires some extra attention. Having said all that, it doesn't feel good the way the Wildcats are rolling at the moment, off field or on the pit on the court, where they've obviously missed out on the finals for the first time. So yeah, not a great time for them. But that's just one of plenty of stories floating around tonight in sport.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've got Wimbledon qualifying continuing to go on. We've got a State of Origin clash, which we will have a chat to with Greg Alexander tonight. And, of course, the Big Bash announcement yesterday. Alistair Dobson to join us a little bit later on this hour. He is the head of the Big Bash League, but we only briefly mentioned that last night with those marquee players from overseas. And, of course, nominations from around the world started yesterday, so it'll be nice to pick his brains. Jesse Turner is going to join us for our Waffle preview for our big round of fixtures coming up this weekend. He plays for Swan Districts. He's been an absolute star when it comes to that. And, of course, we'll get inside our AFL opposition teams with Carlton and Brad Lloyd and Essendon with Josh Marnie, Skeet. So we're going to cover it all, hopefully, tonight.
Absolutely. And none of the Bombers are having a gathering, their supporters club down the road from where I am. And there's going to be Graham Moss and Kevin Sheedy, Mark Harvey, lots of luminaries there. And they'll get together because, of course, the 150-year celebrations for the Bombers, they got rolled on that special night they had at the MCG. But they've got their chance tomorrow night to make it back-to-back wins for the first time this year. They've beaten Hawthorn, they've beaten St Kilda. Can they get across the line against the Eagles tomorrow night? It's going to be, I think it'll be a good game of footy, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Now, news headlines. Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. That is what Polaris is. Dom Sheed. Bone stress in his foot. He's just having no luck whatsoever.
Absolutely. No, it's... Look, I think it's not... I think at this stage, they're just being very cautious with him, but the stress element means, obviously, you just can't go on. There's no point in that. He's only, one game back in the AFL, a couple of games prior to that in the WAFL, so that's not great news. The West Coast Eagles, thankfully, do get back some quality with Tim Kelly, Liam Ryan also returning amongst those inclusions for the game against Essendon tomorrow. But we know that McGovern's missing for a long absence, potentially the rest of the season. And Dom Sheed, well, will he play in the short to medium term? I would be just making sure he's absolutely right to go for 2023.
All right. Now, any surprises when it comes to the Fremantle Dockers lineup? And when you have a look at their team, they still seem to be travelling pretty well, but a couple of players that I didn't expect to be out, including Michael Walters, who sadly is on the sidelines. We knew that Switkowski and Akers would be out, but Michael Walters was a surprise.
Indeed. That is a blow because he has just found a bit of form, hasn't he, in the last few weeks, and particularly against Hawthorn. I thought he was terrific, Switkowski. So two small forwards go out of the side. Michael Frederick's got some speed, he's got some tricks, and Liam Henry, who was pretty good for Peel at the weekend, alongside Matt Taberner. That's where I wonder whether Fremantle will try and stretch the Carlton defence, which is short on tools, if you get my drift, with the likes of Sam Durden out injured only a couple of weeks after being brought into the club. So, yeah, there's an opportunity perhaps for Fremantle, if not at ground level, then certainly aerially, to give the Blues some headaches on Saturday our time. Honey and Kemp in for the Blues. Martin is injured for Carlton. Durden, as I said, injured. Fogarty's a medi-sub. And Frederick, Henry and Taberner, three important ins for Fremantle, but Akers, Tucker, Walters and Switkowski at this stage are the outs.
If you would like to join in, you can. 1-3-3-8-82-4-7-31 Melbourne, 3-4-22 the Brisbane Lions right now. Lance Franklin at Sydney. A one-year deal is being talked about. In fact, it's believed to be on the table. Do you find that to be incredible? Do you think that the overall deal of 9 years and $10 million for Sydney and Lance Franklin has worked? Where do you sit on this issue?
If Lance Franklin is fit enough to go around in 2023, and Carl, you've always said this, you're a long time retired, then I see no reason why he shouldn't be given that opportunity. I mean, for the value alone of drawing an extra 5,000 people through the gate to the SCG every home game next year, he's worth it. But no, he doesn't have to be the star of the show every week for the Swans now, but he will always attract the best defender or close to it. And we know that he still has the nous to be still a very good player at this level. It's just a question of whether his health and his body is strong enough and willing enough to carry him through another 12 months, including a pre-season.
1-3-3-8-82 What's hot for you? Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb. It's available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. 1-3-3-8-82 is our number here on Sports Day. We will clear a commitment in a moment. Eddie Jones has lobbed in Perth. Of course, we've got a bevy of sport, haven't we? I mean, we're going to cross code. We've got Friday night footy with West Coast taking on Essendon. Then on Sunday, we've got Queensland, who have hit town today, Skeet. They take on New South Wales here at Optus Stadium. And then the following Saturday, it is England against Australia in rugby union. And Eddie is heading up England's rugby union team. Looking forward to that getting underway as well. And I think tomorrow morning, correct me if I'm wrong, but I reckon we've got an NBA draft, don't we, that gets underway around 7:30 Western Standard Time tomorrow, and Luke Travers may be a big chance to go.
Yeah, he's a real chance the way he's played and trained and given himself every opportunity with different clubs over there in the United States. So that's a massive moment for him. But I was just thinking about this weekend alone. We're going to get 100,000 fans, I'm guessing, towards very close to it on the Friday night combined with the State of Origin Rugby League. So you'd think 40,000 tomorrow night, Carl. Surely has to be 40,000 tomorrow night. And then it's upwards of 60 on Sunday, if not 60, very close to it. So let's hope we get some big numbers rolling back to sport here in WA that's been down across the board, not just here, but everywhere. This will be a bit of a test to see if the fans are ready to get out and about and enjoy what hopefully, I think tomorrow's night, as I said, will be really competitive. And Sunday, well, very rarely we get a chance to see State of Origin. 2019 was the last occasion. And, of course, the following week, if you're a Wallaby supporter or you're an English sympathiser, then it's a must-viewing match there at Optus Stadium on that 2nd of July.
And while we're on England, they play New Zealand, commencing the third test tonight in Headingley. So we'll keep you up to date with that. That has just got underway. Anderson has been ruled out. Williamson in. So that's a big change for both teams. And the women's golf PGA event starts tonight with Hannah Green, who won the event in 2019. Third time it has been won by an Aussie. $9 million in prize money. And the winner takes home a cool $1.35 million. 1-3-3-8-82 is a number. We'll get to your calls after this. What's hot for you? Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company. Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. We'll get to your calls next. Melbourne 5-8-38, Brisbane 3-4-22, 8:40 to go in the first half. And Jared Lyons has just left the field with what looks like a rib injury. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Carl Langdon, Mark Reddings with you tonight. 133-882 is our number. The lines are free if you'd like to join in. News headlines thanks to Polaris. Thank you, Australia, for making Polaris Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. Scott Morrison gone. He resigned today, effective immediately, the coach of our Perth Wildcats. So they're on the hunt for a coach and a CEO. I just wonder how that affects recruiting players. And, of course, they still have a fair bit of their roster to fill going forward. We've got Wimbledon qualifying tonight. Jason Kubler, Max Purcell and Pinky Hidjakata all were successful last night. Tonight, our WA girls, Madison Inglis and Astra Sharma, headline a field, including Jamie Floris. And we've got an All-Australian affair, Priscilla Hon and Zoe Hives, one of those two to advance tonight. Playing at Eastbourne in a qualifying final is Alex Dimanur. He'll play American in Tommy Paul in that event there. And in the footy right now, Melbourne have just taken control. A couple of soft. Well, that last one was a soft 50-metre penalty. I hate those. 6-8-44 to 3-4-22. So Melbourne doubled the score with still 6 minutes to go in the first half. But they've got on top, Skeet.
They have indeed. I was just thinking footy-wise and how this year's just flying by. It's round 15 coming up. And we have to, I guess, look at the realistic fact that guys like Shannon Hearn and Josh Kennedy are likely to bow out at the end of this year. Do you agree on that?
No.
You think they'll both play on?
Well, I think Josh might bow out, and I reckon Shannon Hearn will play on. That's what I reckon.
Okay, so let's put this at Josh. Josh Kennedy. Now, I know this sounds, I like to be a bit, not romantic, but sentimental, but how do you finish up his career? Because you look at, if he announces towards the last couple of weeks or 3 or 4 weeks of the season that he's done and dusted, everyone loves a farewell game. But round 23, the Eagles played Geelong in Geelong. You're not playing him there, surely, as his last game in the AFL. Round 22, it's a derby, a Dockers home game on a Saturday night. Probably not the ideal scenario given it's a Fremantle home crowd. So I've narrowed it down to round 21 when the Eagles take on Adelaide, 2:10 p.m., on that round 21 fixture, unless, of course, he doesn't want to have a farewell, a goodbye game, which some players don't, Carl.
Well, the thing is, though, Josh Kennedy is still the most productive forward in the West Coast Eagles team. He's played 10 games, he's kicked 18 goals, 1.8. The next best is Jack Darling, who didn't do a preseason. He's averaging 1.3. Liam Ryan, 1.3. Willie Rioli, 1.3. And the only other players averaging a goal a game this season for West Coast are Jamie Cripps and Jack Petrocelli, who can't even get a game in a side that's had all the injuries and COVID. He's played 4 games for the year, Jack Petrocelli. So, I mean, I might even reverse my answer.
So who's going to retire then?
Why would you retire... arguably one of your most consistent backmen in all the games that I've seen Shannon Hearn play. I reckon he's been one of their most consistent defenders. And your most productive forward is Josh Kennedy. Okay. So why would either of them? Why would you want to get rid of either of them?
You don't
want to
get rid of them.
Honest.
Okay, you said that they both should play on. So who does retire at the end of the year if the two oldest players on your list don't?
Well, I think it's got to go deeper than that. They'd be going to the players that have been in that mid-range around a little bit that haven't been able to get games. And I think players like Petrocelli, I think players like Rotham, I think players like Nelson. They're going to get moved on. Now, why do players have to retire? You can still make list changes without people retiring. It's a bit like David Mundy at Fremantle. I mean, David Mundy at Fremantle's not retiring anytime soon, not on what I see him playing, because he's playing good footy. I mean, Kennedy is the most productive Eagles forward, and Hearn is arguably their most consistent defender. Why do they need to retire just because they're old?
No. Is the rebuild going to be better off, and they've been superstars, servants of the games? So you're saying neither should retire?
I'd get rid of 10 of the blokes that are in the middle, that are aged between 22 and 25, that have absolutely done very little, haven't cemented their place. That's where the problems are for West Coast, because for the most part, the group that are in the team week in, week out, or have been trialled over the last few weeks of this season, aren't up to standard.
Well, I think you're wrong. I think they will, either Josh Kennedy and Shannon Hearn, certainly one of the two, will bow out at the end of this year. Now, whether that's their call, it'll be their call with, of course, advice from the club as well. I mean, they're trying to get a rebuild happening here. So whether it's Oscar Allen coming back next season to fulfil that role that Josh Kennedy's had, I'm not sure. But I just don't see them carrying a couple of 35-year-olds into next season if they're trying to regenerate as they are. And that's not to say that they haven't played great footy for a long time, but at what stage do you say, okay, boys, well, let's move on?
Tom Hawkins and, say, Joel Selwood at Geelong are still, say, two examples of what Kennedy and Hearn are. I know Selwood plays in the middle, but that's just an example.
Tom Hawkins going pretty well, though.
Well, Josh Kennedy at 1.8 goals a game is still at the upper end of the competition overall, is the point that I'm making. So is he playing week in, week out? I mean, he's played 10 games of what, a possible 12 or 13, I think it is now, 13. So he's been pretty resilient. He's been probably more resilient than a lot of his younger teammates. He's been certainly more productive when it comes to kicking goals. Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-3-8-82. I'd love to hear from Eagles fans or anyone who would like to have an opinion on that. Ian in Rivervale joins us. G'day.
Carl, I didn't ring in to talk about that, but I agree with you 100%. If a grandma had a beard, she'd be my granddad. But if you put Oscar Allen into that forward line with Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling, it becomes a whole different forward line, doesn't it? And it takes a lot of pressure off Josh Kennedy to be the man. And he doesn't have to play 20 games. I'd rather, you know, Josh Kennedy playing 15 games than a first-year player. But the reason I called for it was to say, love to see Buddy Franklin go around again. And I can't believe you haven't had any calls from Wildcats fans. Where are they? It's clear the problem of that club, isn't it? I think it's named, I can't think of the company's name, but Hutchie rings a bell. And it'll be really interesting to see what the local press have to say about it, because the local press really don't want to upset SEN too much, do they? Because they pay some people's wages.
No, well, that's a bit unfair, because the back page of the West certainly had a shot of Craig Hutchison, had the Cats in crisis. I don't think they've shied away from that. On that front, the CEO's gone, the coach has gone. I asked at the top of the program, Wildcat supporters, tell us your thoughts. And guess what, Ian? You're the only bloke that's bothered to call in and express their anger or disappointment or anything.
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. It's so obvious. It's as plain as the nose on your face. You've got a club that's been, is the benchmark of almost any club in the state. Someone takes over and all of a sudden these long-standing people are leaving. And as far as the coach goes, see you later. If that's your attitude after 1 year, I know that may be fair enough. He's got issues with one of his children. But, geez, he's jumped ship pretty quick.
Yeah, but he would have known that before he came here, surely. And, you know,
Carl. It didn't just happen.
No, and I think that when it comes to employing him in the first place, that's where I ask the questions. How much background went into actually getting Scott Morrison across? It hasn't worked. It's failed. It's broken a very long streak of the Perth Wildcats. Now, we can talk about personnel and COVID and all of those issues, but we can talk about that affecting a lot of different things. And the Freo Dockers have been able to rise above it. Our Perth Scorchers, both men and women, have been able to rise above it. So there's plenty of examples of positive things that have gone on. And sadly, for the Wildcats, it's failed. Now, that's just the facts. Now, what they do with our Perth Wildcats going forward, and that's SEN, Sports Entertainment Network, we'll have to wait and see. And that is the challenge that is ahead. Now, Craig Hutchison hasn't stuck his head in the sand. He's fronted up. He's spoken about what they need to do. It's now going to be the proof in the pudding. It's who replaces Troy Giorgio. It's who replaces Scott Morrison. Now, those questions are yet to be answered, and we will wait to see in the not-too-distant future as to who those two key appointments are going to be, because they are going to be massive to the future of the Perth Wildcats. As we go to Susan in Morley. G'day, Susan.
Hi, how are you going?
Good.
I think we definitely need to give JK a send-off. And it has to be here, and it has to be in front of his home crowd, because he's definitely going. He ain't staying. So he'll definitely go at the end of the year. He made a comment of that on the back chat with Will Schofield when they interviewed him, and he was asked, are you going to play on next year? No, mate, not playing on next year. My body just can't do it.
Yep. No,
so
that's...
he's definitely going.
That's, I agree with you, Susan, and I totally concur with what you say about a farewell game. I've penciled in round 21 against Adelaide because a derby here, it's a Fremantle home game, doesn't work, and certainly playing at Geelong where the Eagles just take going, certainly not ideal. So I'm thinking round 21, but again, Josh Kennedy's been a wonderful servant, and hopefully he gets to choose whether he does that. He might just want to go and play in Geelong, Carl, and finish off round 23 and sail off into the sunset.
He might. But then there's going to be a few that need to be swinging off his coattails if he's going out the gate.
I agree, mate. But the time,
you know, Liam Ryan, right? He is much younger than Josh Kennedy. He's averaging Kennedy 8 disposals. Ryan's averaging 9, but he's kicking 1.4 goals a game. Jake Waterman, he's averaging 9 disposals. He's kicked 7 goals. These are the blokes that have basically got to take... Jack Petrocelli, I spoke about him. He's averaging a goal a game from 4 games that he's played. Can't get a game in a side that has struggled. Zach Langdon, a recruit, he's kicked 2 goals. And I could go on and on and on and on, but I'm just going to
I agree, Carl, but all I was saying was those two players are more likely than not to end their careers at the end of this season. Is there an opportunity or an appetite for a farewell game? Susan said there is. You think they should both play on. We go to Sean in Belldivers.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Yeah, I actually just wanted to change tack slightly. Just with the Big Bash and the introduction of the draft system for the international players. I just think it's a crap idea, to be honest with you. To AB de Villiers, McCullum, you know, there's certain guys, they came here because they wanted to play with a particular coach or a particular player, which they know very well.
Rubbish.
You're not going to attract a better...
Rubbish.
No.
They came here because of the cash, mate. They came here because of the cash.
Yes.
Come on, let's not beat around the bush.
I agree, Carl, with you.
Yeah.
Came here for the money, but AB de Villiers came because he had close affiliation with the Heat. Brendan
Rubbish.
McCullum, likewise.
Rubbish.
No,
absolute junk.
I
disagree. I think that this is a good idea. I don't reckon there's any connection. I reckon all of these players are mercenaries and they chase the money, and this will be a good thing. We'll be back soon here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's great to have your company. And in our sports updates, we've been updating all that's been happening around the Big Bash 12, which is just around the corner thanks to Century 21. Selling or renting, century21.com.au. And the head of Big Bash Cricket is Alistair Dobson. And some big announcements made yesterday. Dobbo, welcome to Sports Day. How are you going?
G'day, gents. I'm going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now the biggest of those was around the draft that's been introduced for the overseas players. I believe that they will join the 18 local players that will be part of each list, but the money that's being paid is outside the salary cap. Is that correct?
Well, it's a combination. The full list is 18 players, so there's 15 local players and up to 3 international players on that list, which has been the case for a couple of years. The way we've built the draft is it's a combination of an allocation of the salary cap from each club alongside some additional investment from Cricket Australia to ensure we can get the right players in. So it's been a really collaborative process over a couple of years, actually, with clubs who've had plenty to contribute to the idea, and we're really excited with where it's landed.
What's the primary reason for holding a draft?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons, but ultimately the primary reason is giving ourselves the best chance to get the best overseas players in. I think it's been widely publicised that it's always a key objective of the BBL, and while we've had great success in recent years and including last season, I think we need to keep innovating around how we bring those players in. So a draft enables us to build a model where we can pay the players an appropriate amount to come and play in Australia, and then equally, it's a great opportunity for us to build up the profile of the players and the competition. I think there's plenty of examples of in sport around the world where drafts and similar mechanics create such interest that we think the BBL can benefit significantly from that. But first and foremost, it's about getting the best possible players into the competition.
And we know that it's pretty hard to compete with the IPL, but does this now put the Big Bash in a position where, for those other competitions, short-form competitions around the world, that you feel comfortable that you can attract the best players? If they've got a choice, they'll come down under?
yeah, we've spent an enormous amount of time with agents and players, just making sure we've got a really clear picture of the market. There's plenty of cricket on. It's a really good time to be a professional T20 cricketer these days, because there's lots of options and good money around the world. But we're definitely confident that where we've been able to get to is a really competitive market rate. But equally, it's not just about the money for the BBL. We know players love coming out and playing in Australia and playing at, you know, great grounds, including those in Perth, and the venues and the crowds and the weather and the climate are all part of it. The money is one thing, an important part, but the BBL sells itself in a whole range of other factors, and we get told that every day from agents and players, and you know, it's all part of the equation.
It'll actually be nice to have some cricket back in Perth. We haven't had any too much in the past summer, as you would well and truly know, and our team did really well winning on the road. Now, when it comes to nominating the salary, these overseas players, who, by the way, have had the ability to nominate since yesterday, gold, silver and bronze, and then the BBL will elevate the biggest names to platinum status. How will that part work, and how many will be elevated into the platinum status?
Yeah, so clubs will have, they get the chance to select three players in the draft to fill their three primary spots. There'll be four rounds of the draft for them to fill their three spots, and clearly that means they've got to pass on at least one round, and players will nominate into gold, silver and bronze, and part of that will be a set remuneration for each band, and they can adjust their availability or their requirements in each band, and then we'll take or look at a smaller group of those players, elevate them to platinum, where we want to make sure we've got the best of the best in that group and ultimately pay them accordingly. We're still settling on a number. We'll work closely with the clubs. I'd say between 12 and 15 players to, you know, for that first round of the draft, which will be 8 selections. A big factor of the draft is making sure clubs have lots of options. They need to get to their selection and need to make a choice between a number of players is ultimately what we want to achieve, and probably put them under a bit of pressure, and it'll be great sort of theatre and you know, a great event we'll put on with that'll mean clubs have got to make the right selections at the right time, which we think fans will really engage with.
We're chatting to Alistair Dobson. He is the head of Big Bash Cricket here in this country. Are there going to be any other changes, mate, from last season that you can tell us about tonight here on Sports Day?
Oh, look, I think the biggest change, and it won't be a surprise, is that we can't wait for crowds to be back, I think, and ultimately to play games in Perth again and in places we haven't. I think of all the innovations and creative thinking we can do and we'll continue to do, nothing's going to beat the fact that we're going to have big crowds back in front of the BBL, which is ultimately what we're known for and what we love, and there'll be no better place than that than in Perth watching what has been a pretty phenomenal season for both Scorchers teams in the BBL and WBBL. They're rightly proud about a pretty phenomenal achievement. So we'd expect big crowds back at the stadium in Perth. And ultimately, that's the most exciting part of the season. And lots of other things we're working on, but ultimately that's going to be the biggest change from the last couple, as simple as that sounds.
And so the window for the league and also the number of matches remains the same?
Yeah, the number of matches remain the same. We think we still think that's the right model, and we've done a lot of work over since last season to test that and to look at all the data and the numbers, and we think particularly being able to get back to a BBL schedule that we love. I think it'd be a great opportunity this year with very limited international cricket in our window. The last couple of seasons we've had day-night test matches and others that have been a bit disruptive to the BBL, so it's going to be a great season of prime time BBL cricket right throughout the summer, which is ultimately what everyone loves. So it'll be a mid-December start. We'll finish the home and away season within the school holidays, as we always like to, and then some finals after that. So we're probably 3 or 4 weeks away from announcing the schedule for both the BBL and WBBL as well, and that'll be another big milestone for us.
Thanks very much for your time tonight.
Anytime, guys. Great to chat.
Alistair Dobson, head of Big Bash Cricket. Thanks to the Toolkit Depot. You can earn depot dollars when you shop the Epic Range at Toolkit Depot this Friday to Sunday. Sounds good, Skeet. I reckon it's a good innovation. I like it, and be interesting to see how it goes and what players actually nominate.
Yeah, it's more important to get the best players available. You don't want to have a competition where you look across at, say, what we see in England or the IPL and go, well, we're an inferior competition by a large degree. We know the IPL is very difficult to compete with for obvious reasons. But if we can elevate ourselves up to a solid second and get those big-name players, gee, our summer looks far more attractive.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company. And the big game on Sunday, State of Origin 2. It is New South Wales against Queensland. Queensland are one up. New South Wales are going to get them back, we hope. Greg Alexander is an assistant coach who joins us here on Sports Day. Greg, welcome to Sports Day. How are you going? Welcome to Perth.
Yeah, no, Perth's great. Look, we've been here since Monday morning, full cross. We thought we'd acclimatise as we did back in 2019. Spent the whole week in Perth in preparation for the game, and it's been terrific so far. We've been out at Scarborough, and tomorrow we'll head on into town and stay closer to the stadium for the game Sunday.
I reckon you might have brought a bit of that East Coast weather with you, mate, because it's been a bit of a change, but it looks like it's going to fine up for the game and the rest of the working week, so it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad.
No, well, the weather's been good. We actually, today was a day off for us, so we went out and played golf at Joondalup and we beat the rain, which was good. So we got our 18 holes in before the rain came. But the weather's been all right so far. It has been chilly over there in Sydney. So it's quite nice. Quite nice here in WA.
Brandy, let's forget about all the niceties when it comes to the weather and God knows what. You labelled the side as apparently, quote, too nice in the opening match when it comes to maybe the tackling side of the Blues game. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I just think we were, you know, I think it's common knowledge now that, you know, we're pretty well beaten in the ruck. You know, in the game, the ruck determines how quick the game is for either side. So we lost that part of the game, and I just don't think there was enough aggression in our defence. So they're things that we need to focus and fix up for Sunday night, and I think we can, and we, you know, I think that'll see a big improvement in how we play.
Expect the Blues to bounce back. But you have made 7 changes. That's quite a lot compared to Queensland 2, which are forced. Are you comfortable that those types of numbers coming in to the squad, or certainly the changes, won't cause any disruption?
No, absolutely no disruption. No, the players that are coming in have done the job before. We've got a couple of players on debut. Matt Burton will make his debut out in the centres, but you know, he's surrounded by Penrith players that he played with last year, and so he's looked comfortable. And you know, the rest of the team have all been there before. They've been part of the squad over the last 5 seasons. So even though there's a few changes, one forced with Jack Whiten not there, but I'm comfortable that the boys have settled in. It's been a good week training wise, and you know, they look like a side that's ready to get the job done.
Yeah, no doubt the Blues will bounce back. They're too good a side. Tedesco and all the class that you have in that team. One quick one, that last 15 minutes of game one was as brutal, or certainly as quick and frenetic as what I've seen. If we get something like that in game two, and from your point of view, obviously a Blues victory, this series is living up to all the hype that it does each and every year.
Yes, you will get a spectacle, there's no doubt. At Optus Stadium on Sunday night. There's no doubt it's going to be a fantastic game. There's a split hair between these sides. And, you know, when you look at the Queensland side, I know I found myself talking about, you know, the dangers of the Queensland team leading into game one. They've got a couple of forced changes, but their key players are all in great form. You know, the two Melbourne players, Harry Grant, Cameron Munster, you know, they haven't played. Well, certainly Cameron Munster has been at his consistent best, I think, this year. Cherry Evans has been in good form. Their forwards were terrific. So, you know, our blokes are going to have to be as good as they can be to beat them. But what you will get is a fantastic game. There's no doubt about that.
And, Greg, Nathan Cleary, I hear, is on a mission to turn around what was a little bit of a probably fail to fire in that first game.
Yeah, well, Matt was a casualty of the way we played, and was quite often on the back foot. And I can't remember a game where Nathan was standing flat footed, and that's not his fault. It's just how slow everything was from our side in terms of the play, the ball. We weren't on the front foot. It's very hard as a half to dominate when your side isn't on the front foot. So, you know, Nat's bounced back with a couple of very good showings in club footy. Was great against Newcastle, as he was against the Warriors last week. You know, he's a very single-minded person, Nathan, and I know he'll be looking for a big game, as will all the players. But Nat seemed to cop a fair bit of the criticism. Just or unjust, well, you know, that's for everyone else. But, you know, he knows that he's got the support of the team and the coaching staff, and I'm sure Nathan will play. I'm sure Nat will have a big game as long as our blokes do the job around him.
And Cameron Munster, surely he can't have as good a game as he did in Game 1 in Game 2. Are you going to put extra work into him or just concentrate on what you were doing?
Yeah, I think you know, if you concentrate too much on Cameron, you forget about what's around him, and there's some quality players around him. So, you know, we're going to have to, you know, do our best to stop Cameron. But, over the last 5 years since I've been involved in the Origin side, I've seen Cameron Munster play games like that before. So, certainly well within him to have another one, but we've got to do our best to at least restrict him.
Thanks, Greg, for your time, and good luck for Sunday.
Good on you. Thanks, boys.
Greg Alexander joining us here on Sports Day out of the New South Wales camp. He's an assistant coach there. Who wins and why, Skate?
Oh, look, I think New South Wales wins and wins easily. And I say that because I'm a Queenslander and I've just haven't tipped at all well in any format this year. So I'm putting the reverse mock on. But in all seriousness, I think New South Wales does win. We go to Queensland, the series tied 1-1. It's a great advertisement for rugby league, what we saw in game one. I think 55,000 plus, beautiful night for rugby league. Should be a cracking game. And let's just hope it's a tight, exciting tussle as it was in Sydney.
Yeah, and tickets are available right now through Ticketek, so make sure that you jump on board. And if you can't get there, you can watch it live on Channel 9.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get into our WAFL preview. It's thanks to your local Isuzu dealer. The Isuzu D-Max is born to rock. And a bloke who's been rocking down there at Swan Districts is Jesse Turner. He's been getting a poultice of the footy, coming off a 32-possession game. One goal, one. Sadly, his team went down, though. But Jess was in ripping individual form. Welcome, mate. Nice to chat. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're having no trouble finding the footy, mate. Currently leading the disposals in the WAFL. You're enjoying a good season individually. How are you feeling?
Feeling really good. Thankfully, the body's holding up well. And, yeah, just I think I've been a bit fortunate with some games, been able to get my hands on the ball quite a bit. But as you just said before, unfortunately, didn't result in a win last week against West Perth. So hopefully we can turn that around against Subi this week.
Yeah, but that being said, as Carl alluded to, your form this year has been terrific. 9 matches, 284 disposals, 4 goals as well. You've had a distinguished career at Swans. Is this the best year yet, though, for you up to this point of the season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing has been the consistency. I think in the last definitely 2 or 3 years, I've had the 30 possession games and I've been able to play some really good footy, but I probably wasn't as consistent what I am now. And I think that's something that I strive for this year, was to be able to week in, week out, not necessarily have the high numbers, but always influence the game to the best that I feel I can. And I think so far this year, that's probably been the biggest difference, has been my ability to impact games consistently, and, you know, not just every second or third game, but every game so far.
And, of course, playing state footy means you're highly regarded across the competition.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great honour to play my first state game. I never played any state in 15s or 16s or 18s, so it was the first time I've ever wore a WA jumper, so it's definitely not something I took lightly. And to play alongside, you know, some of the blokes that I looked up to, like Kitchen and Black, it was a massive honour. Unfortunately, didn't get the win. We had a couple chances late in that game, but, yeah, I think getting picked in that team and seeing some of the, I guess, the more senior players and some of the best players in the Waffle, the way they react to me, and I guess the belief they had in me, it's kind of given me a lot of confidence going into the rest of this year and just moving forward as well.
A good come-from-behind victory against Peel Thunder. And then, of course, we've spoken about the narrow loss at Pentanet Stadium last week. What about going forward? How do you feel the team is placed? You're sitting just outside the top five currently. You're 5-4, and it's a really tight competition. But Subiaco, who started really slowly, have started to improve slightly.
Yeah, 100%. I think, as a lot of people have, spoken about so far this year. This is probably the most even the competition's been in a long time. And I think last week we were definitely outplayed for more of the game. And before that, our three losses, we had been leading it with 5 minutes to go in each one of those games. So we felt like every game we've played in, probably bar last week, we've definitely had had our chances to win. So I definitely think our best footy is good enough to match it with everyone. We just really need to be able to do that more consistently. And then in terms of Subi, we've played them in Kalgoorlie only a few weeks ago, in which they got the better off us. They ran us down in the last quarter. So we'll definitely be looking to make amends there. And like you said, they are in some good form at the moment. And Subi. So we know they're always going to be a tough game. So we look forward to it.
And talking about giving the heart a bit of a workout for the coach and his supporters, just briefly, round one, 4 points the margin, 9 points round two, 5 points round three, 9 in round four, 14-9. It's just been a tight season, and your matches have invariably gone right down to the wire. Not great for those that would like a comfortable last quarter.
Yeah, Piggers has definitely reminded us about that. We're giving him a heart attack nearly every game, win or loss. So, like I said, all our losses besides last week, we've been up with 5 minutes to go, and then all our wins as well have been pretty much in the balance with a few minutes to go. So I guess it is a good and a bad thing. It shows that we've been able to compete with every single team that we've gone up against. Also from our point of view, we want to be able to finish games a bit stronger and probably put teams away, especially where we felt we've played, the better of the footy throughout the game. So it's definitely something we're working on. But I guess going into finals, and hope, you know, that's what we're definitely striving for again, being able to play out those tight games and win more than you lose is definitely crucial.
Jess, thank you very much for joining us briefly tonight here on Sports Day. We appreciate it, mate, and keep up the good work.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Jesse Turner from the Swan Districts Football Club. Do they win, Skeet?
Yes. Subiaco haven't convinced me just yet. I saw them against the Eagles on the weekend, and look, they know that they're well short of their premiership credentials of last season. Swan Districts, at home, they're a very tough side to beat. So Chris Jones has been great. Defender, come forward, kicking goals. Subi, just to fall short. Another five-point result in favour of Swans.
So Steel Blue Oval, 10 past two. At the Wacker, it's East Fremantle and Peel Thunder, same time.
Really good game. Two sides pretty close on the table as well. Backing the Sharks to bounce back after that loss to Claremont.
I'm going to stick with... Oh, no, I don't know. They lost to Tracy, didn't they? But they had a good win, Peel Thunder. I'm going to go for Peel Thunder just for the sake of it. The other game at the same time, 10 past two. In fact, there's a couple more. East Perth against Claremont at Leaderville Oval.
Yeah, I think Claremont, best team in the competition or close to it at the moment, so they'll be beating East Perth.
Yeah, and East Perth have just fallen off the pace a little bit, haven't they? Perth have been really disappointing. Mineral Resources Park against West Perth.
They haven't been able to beat West Perth when they're playing well, let alone when they've been struggling. So the Falcons for me there, sadly.
And we've got back-to-back games, of course, there at Mineral Resources Park. West Coast's match against South Fremantle gets underway at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, going for South Fremantle, it should be too strong for the West Coast Eagles, who, by the way, are on the improve.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks to Repco Authorised Service for expert car service. Book online at repcoservice.com. And it's fantastic to have Brad Lloyd on the radio. He is Carlton's head of footy, and they take on Freo on Saturday at Marvel Stadium. Gets underway at 11:45. You'll hear it live right here on 882 6PR. Brad, welcome to Sports Day. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Such a great start by your club, and I bloody was writing in the newspaper, and I feel a little bit like I'm responsible, and I said I got to feel it in my COVID bones that you were going to be right up in the top four, and then all of a sudden, in the last few weeks, you've just lost players, and such important players into your back line, and then you get a bloke in a mid-season draft by the name of Sam Durden, and you lose him as well.
Yeah, no, it's been... unbelievable from that point of view, and yeah, all in a bit of a similar position. So yeah, we've lost a couple with particularly Weeders going down. Weedering is a mainstay, and unfortunately Marchbank they only lasted that one game. He showed a fair bit, Caleb. He's sort of a high quality player, but hasn't been able to get going. And Oscar McDonald as well, who he's had some a bit of a back issue. So and then poor old Sam Durden, who'd only been with us for, I think, about 15 days when he debuted. And, went down. But now look, all the players in the club have been good. Sort of no excuses. Sort of just get next player going. So we'll continue to work through that. So I thought Sam Durden did a good job with Lewis Young last week. We let out a lot of inside 50s against us, but they held up quite well. So yeah, Durden looks okay.
The mid-season report card, I think you get a tick, don't you, Lordy, given you see fifth on the ladder, 36 points next to your name, albeit if you lose against the Dockers, suddenly the top eight, it's getting pretty congested. You need to keep an eye on plenty of teams trying to take your spot in that top echelon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's sort of, all the teams are sort of eyeing for spots. It's pretty even there. So you sort of, clubs all sort of have their wins and losses along the way. But yeah, look, it's been a good start. It's hard to know where we're going to go with a new coach. I know sort of our list is really growing and building and maturing. So that we've probably got a bit younger this year with our core group. Wietering and Harry and Cripps and Walsh, and these guys are starting to mature. But we sort of lost a few of the older players in Mark Murphy and Eddie Betts and Levi Casbolt, these types that went out. So we've probably got a bit younger, but our core group's got a bit more mature. And it's been a really good start so far. So it's hard with a new coaching group and staff to know how we're going to go. But we've been really, really happy with how we've kicked off.
Even that loss to Richmond, where you conceded 3-0 in the first quarter, from that point you outscored them 9-8. So you were beaten and Richmond deserved the victory, but you showed a fair bit of character, obviously getting within a kick in that last quarter.
Yeah, we've sort of been building in that area over the last few years. Like we sort of had some, probably back in, I first got to the club at the end of 2018, so 19. There was a few sort of heavy losses through that early part, but we've started getting more competitive as each year's gone by. And then, particularly even last year, we were competing in games but not quite closing them out, whereas this year we've been able to close out games. But, yeah, the boys have shown a lot of fight and a lot of character, and they sort of just keep hanging in. They're able to score quickly at times. So, obviously we don't want to get that sort of momentum shift or start poorly like we did last week, which is sort of hard trying to fight back from it.
Brad, I know that Sam Walsh is still only a young player, but do you sometimes sit there and shake your head at his running ability? He's just remarkably good and already having a big impact on the game.
Oh, he's a ripper, yeah. He's number one pick for a reason. And, he's unbelievable with his running ability and his smarts and just sort of, the model sort of player around the club and how hard he works. Like, he's really been able to, I guess it's rare for a young player to come in and be able to set the standard, and he's been able to be a key contributor with that. So, he's amazing from that point of view, pretty special. I think he's probably only 21 still. He's only been with us a couple of years, but, he's a beauty. He runs really hard. He's probably not dissimilar to sort of Andrew Brayshaw, who, seen firsthand at Fremantle, who's a ripper as well. Like, just both boys, amazing characters with big running capacities that are true leaders for their footy clubs.
No doubt about that. And speaking of true leaders and a bloke that's faced a lot of hardship, and it was wonderful to see earlier this season when Carlton played North Melbourne to see him going and bracing Ben Cunnington from the North Melbourne Football Club. I'm talking about Sam Doherty, who's faced testicular cancer, which is the reason why he went and embraced his opponent on that particular afternoon, which is a moment, mate, that I won't forget as a commentator. It's those little things that just stick in your mind. And to be... to have gone through what he's gone through and be back playing the footy that he's playing, it's been unbelievably good.
Yeah, I think one of my first sessions at the club, he did his knee. It might have been for the second time, and everyone was heartbroken for him. So, you sort of even forget that part of what he's had taken to get back, and he played regular footy last year. But then to go through what he did in the off-season and just to see him come back, look, unrecognisable, really. How he looked when he was sort of on the back end of his treatment and then sort of starting pre-season. You could see his hell-bent on playing round one, but sort of what he went through, you just never know with sort of even just different soft tissue and things like that he may face as he's trying to get back up. But, he slowly put on the weight and, unbelievable. He's playing as just good as he's ever played, just sort of his intercept marking, and he's been really tough and courageous and rebounding by foot outstanding leader for us. Phenomenal story. Yeah, amazing.
Round six, only kicked 9 at Optus Stadium. Charlie Curnow 2, Harry Mackay 1. So the Dockers' defence, you know how stingy they are. Obviously, you need to find a way on Saturday to break that down. And from your perspective, kick a score to really trouble them.
Yeah, they're really, really impressive. First time we played them, and really for the last couple of years they've been building, and Justin Longmuir's doing a great job there. So, yeah, they've got some real talent, and they're really disciplined, and playing in the early part of the year, you could sort of see they're going to be legitimate finals, top end side. So they'll challenge us, but we've got some weapons as well, so it's going to be a great game.
Thank you, Lloydie, for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Brad Lloyd there, the Carlton head of football, thanks to Repco Authorised Service for Expert Car Service. Book online at repcoservice.com. Skeeter, I know we played Beat the Boys last night, but the changes, Brodie Kepp and Josh Honey come in. Jack Martin, unfortunately, is out injured. Lockie Fogarty, the Medi sub, and Sam Durden, who we spoke about, is injured. Liam Henry, Matt Taberner, Michael Frederick back for the Dockers. Out goes Akers, Tucker, Walters, who's injured, and, of course, Sam Switkowski, who's injured. He's back. Who wins?
I tipped Carlton last night, and I guess you can't change your mind in 24 hours. It's going to be a cracking game. Well, no, you have to show a little bit of faith in your original selection. Nunes, by the way, Jack Nunes' 200th game. Fremantle did a number on them in round six. They could well beat them at Marvel Stadium, but I just think they might be able to bounce. I thought they were pretty good against Richmond, so I will stick with Carlton to cause a bit of grief for Freo on Saturday.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company and the West Coast Eagles Friday night footy at Optus Stadium. It's a 6:40 start and you'll hear it live right here on 882 6PR. Skeet and myself will be calling the action, and it's fantastic to have the General Manager of Football from the Essendon Football Club, well supported out West too. Josh, welcome to Sports Day.
Yeah, g'day Carl. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Good win last week on a season that probably hasn't panned out the way that you would have liked, but I liked your forward line structure last week. In fact, I called a game on 6PR last Friday night, and I just felt with Jake Stringer back into the side and Harrison Jones, your structure up forward, and D'Ambrosio playing his first game didn't look out of place either.
Yeah, it was probably our most complete game for a long period of time, probably all season, and it's been slowly building, probably. Post a really disappointing effort in Sydney the last 4 weeks. We've built on and played good patches, but that was probably our most complete game last week. And as you mentioned, having a few different options up forward, and a lot has gone onto Peter Wright's shoulders this year, and he's been a great target for us, but he needs some help down there. And the guys you mentioned in Harry Jones and Jake Stringer do create great foils, and another exciting to have, you know, Massimo D'Ambrosio play his first game and then show what he can do straight away.
At selection, Nick Bryan, Kyle Langford in for his 100th game, and Will Snelling into the side. Out goes Andrew Phillips, managed. Andy McGrath's injured, unfortunately. Braden Ham has been omitted. And James Stewart, the Medi sub. You mentioned your most complete performance of the year, Josh, last Friday night. The frustration is it hasn't been replicated enough. I'm sure everyone at the club's trying to find a reason how and a way you can produce that on a more regular occurrence.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the challenge for every team, to be consistent like that. And yeah, we just haven't had any consistency with our form. You know, there's been different reasons. Some has been personnel-wise, and then some of the early teams, the fixture we had, you know, the guys lost a bit of confidence when you've lost a few games in a row. So it was about getting back to the basics, which we did probably about a month ago, and you know, really returning to tackle pressure on the ball and contest the ball being, you know, the fundamental, you know, driving force of our game plan. And off the back of that, things start to work a lot better. And you know, in the inclusions, having guys like Snelling and Langford to come in, you know, both experienced players, both really important role players for us, and I'm sure they'll make a big difference.
Jake Stringer, always under the microscope for his performances, and he's had an interesting season when it comes to his injuries and getting some continuity into his footy. But how important is it that he can play the role that you recruited him for, that sort of X-factor player that can turn matches?
Yeah, I think we saw just last week the impact that he can have, and he can kick a goal from nowhere. And I think the season he had, the back half of last season, he was the most dominant midfielder in the competition as well. So we want to get him back to that form, and he's built on that in the 2 weeks now he's played. So looking forward to getting back into that form and being more centre bounces, having impact around clearance and being a good goal kicker. So, yeah, very important player for us.
Nick Martin, what a start to his AFL career. He bobs up in round one with 5 goals and gets the AFL Rising Star nomination. He's a very seasoned player in Western Australia, playing those premierships for Subiaco. But, mate, he has been one of the best pickups of the season so far.
Yeah, that's right. And you guys would know him well, playing a lot of footy over here in WA. And you know, his start was unbelievable. You know, his first game, and then he missed round two with COVID. So that was a fair start to his AFL career. Not many people got to experience 5 goals in their debut, let alone their second game missing through COVID. So he's been a really important player for us. We've really liked his running ability, what he's been able to do through the midfield. He's got natural goal sense. So he's been seamless the way he's come into his AFL career. I know he's looking forward to coming over here and playing at Optus Stadium.
And I've got to add a couple of other younger players too, I reckon, are getting under the radar a little bit, is Archie Perkins and Ben Hobbs. They too, I think, have been really good and built their seasons. Hobbs, of course, was, I think, the round 14 Rising Star. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I reckon he was. And he's just been building nicely. And Archie Perkins, start off in the forward line, has been rotated through that midfield more recently, given that you've had a few players being rotated out there, mainly because of injury.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Ben Hobbs, he did win the Rising Star this week, which was a good reward for him for the season he has had. And often with both Archie and Ben, they're midfielders, but they do learn their craft as high half forwards and just gradually get a bit more time through the midfield. And it's been pleasing, both of those guys, when they've gone in the midfield, have looked at home, and every experience is going to be a new experience for them. They get to play against, again, a really good seasoned West Coast midfield that, you know, that's going to be a good another test for them, and they can learn more out of that game. So every game they're playing, they're learning, they're getting better, and we think that our midfield depth is going to be a real strength of ours moving forward.
What about the West Coast Eagles, mate? Obviously, they've had their issues. They've got a few well-credentialed players back in the last couple of weeks, although there's a couple going out by the name of Sheed and McGovern, but with Rotham, Liam Ryan and Tim Kelly, a little bit more firepower there. How have you seen West Coast? And they probably played their best game, to be perfectly honest, last week.
Yeah, that's the only game we're focusing on. I mean, they've had their struggles in the first half of the year, but we're really focused on what they did last week. And they've got a lot more of their players on the park, still got a few guys missing that are important to them. But, look across the board, still a very good team. They've had their struggles, as I mentioned, but last week's game against Geelong, super competitive. And we're planning for their best. We're planning for all their players to be at their best. And, you know, that's the only way we can attack the game. So we're looking forward to playing tomorrow night. It'll be a good test for us.
Josh, thank you very much for your time, mate. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Josh Marnie, Essendon Football Club General Manager of footy. And I'll tell you what, all the big boys are in town. Dustin Fletcher's here.
Yes.
Former coach, of course, of Essendon. The longtime coach, Kevin Sheedy, to celebrate the club's 150th year in 2022. The Bombers are giving fans the opportunity to win a truly life-changing prize after this season. One lucky member will take home $150,000 cash through the Bomber Bonanza competition by already being a 2022 member or by signing up before July 31. Fans will go into the draw to win the cash prize, with the winner to be announced at Essendon's Round 23 match against Richmond. Sign up today at efc.com.au. Skeet, who wins this game and why?
Well, this is a big chance for the Eagles. Given the ins, and I mentioned Ryan, Kelly, Rotham, who, by the way, played a bit of ruck for West Coast in the WAFL. Not sure he'll be playing that role tomorrow night. But albeit losing Sheed and McGovern, as we know, this is a winnable game, absolutely winnable game. Essendon have been pretty average for the whole season. West Coast are on the improve. I have tipped Essendon, but not with a lot of confidence. I'm just concerned about the defence of West Coast, the way they've given up goals this year at times. And if the big boy, Peter Wright and Jake Stringer, can combine, I think they might be able to kick a winning score. But certainly, if you're an Eagles supporter going to the footy, this is one of those matches you should have a fair bit of hope about.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars is on this Friday to Sunday at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and nice to have Tab Touch's David Short on your radio. Shorty, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Really well, thanks, Carl. Skeet, great to be catching up with you guys. Tremendous to have the full fixture of footy back. Really looking forward to this round. There's some cracking games too.
Yeah, there is, mate. And obviously we've got a big one underway as we speak. But what are the markets looking like for the other cracking games that are coming up for round 15?
We've got two games on Friday night. The early kickoff there sees Western Bulldogs $1.40 taking on Hawthorn $3, that line 16.5. While 6:40 a kickoff locally, West Coast 2.65, Essendon 1.48. That line sits at 13.5 points. On Saturday, Carlton 2.14, Freo $1.70, the line at 5.5. Geelong Richmond 1.85, the Cats, the Tigers 1.95. One of the trickier games of the round for the tipsters. Sydney up against St Kilda 1.47 for the red and white. The Saints at 2.65, that line at 13.5. North Melbourne take on Adelaide 3.25, the Kangas 1.33 for the Crows, that line 18.5. Collingwood GWS 1.45 for the Pies, the Giants 2.75, that line 13.5. And the final game sees Port Adelaide $1.42, Gold Coast 2.85, line betting 14.5. Good luck if you're having a punt on any of the footy this weekend.
Yeah, great round of AFL footy. What about State of Origin, Optus Stadium, Sunday evening our time? Queensland leads 1-0, but the Blues will start, you think, slight favourites.
That's correct, Skeet. They go in $1.81 at the minute, $1.98 for Queensland. Line betting sits at 1.5. We've got a stack of different markets on the big game there on Sunday. And, of course, if you're heading to the ground, watch out for the Tab Touch terminals throughout the venue.
And what about the one dayers in Sri Lanka? We've lost the series, but there's still some money to be made with Tab Touch.
Yeah, look, they need to bounce back. The Aussies, been a disappointing campaign across there in Sri Lanka. It must be said injuries have certainly made it trickier than what we would have expected. $1.52, though, the Aussies go in for Game 5. Sri Lanka at $2.50. Stacks of different markets within the match. Most runs, most wickets and the like if you're looking to get involved in the novelties.
Now, let's have a look at the NAG, Shorty. And we start off with the big racing card up there at Eagle Farm in Queensland. And the only Group 1 event on the weekend is the Tattersall's Tiara comes up, race number 8. And race number 9 is a ripper too, the WJ Healy Stakes.
Indeed. We'll kick off with the Group 1 Tats Tiara to kick off here. Anna Visto, $5 firm at that quote, heads into the race with a tremendous fresh card. 4 starts first up for 3 wins and a second. Snap Dancer on the second line, $6 and firm. Another horse that heads in wonderful form. It's won 3 of her last 4. She's going great gun. Star Tonte's 9 to 10. Shout the Bar, 11 and firm. Away game, 10 out to 11. Kiku, 17 into 11 is one to watch out for. Been specced at the nice odds there. And in race number 9, the Group 3 Healy Stakes over the 1,200 metres. King of Sparta, our $3 favourite. Open at 280, just out of touch. Baller on the second line, 750 into 7. Shooting for Gold, 10 into 9. Alpine Edge has been 12 into 9. Garibaldi, 11 into 10. All other runners, 11 and upwards. A couple of cracking races to round out the program there at Eagle Farm on Saturday.
Last look at racing on the East Coast for tonight. And at Randwick, race number 8, the Civic Stakes.
Yeah, another interesting affair. The third emergency at the moment is our current favourite. There is already one scratching, but needs another couple of scratchings to get a start. We speak of Battleton. It's 4.20 into 3.80. Taxu on the second line, 6 into 5.50. Maria Mia's been 6.50 into 6 and looks like Elvis. Could be timely with the movie coming out this week. $8.50 into $7. That same fluctuation for Oscar Zulu.
And the main race here at Sunny Belmont. Let's hope it's sunny, Shorty, because it's been pretty miserable today. The Strickland Stakes, a Group 3 event.
Yeah, we could well be looking for horses that don't mind a little bit of sting outs after the rain we've had today, Carlos. So got us chosen heads up betting in the feature. $1.90 firm at that quote. Captain Chaos, who actually knocked off Got Us Chosen last time out there in the Group 3 Hyperion Stakes. It's been 8 into $6, so good support for the captain. Notorious won 7.50 into 6. Maricino 6.50 to 9. All other runners $15 and upwards. A bumper 9 race card out there at Belmont on Saturday.
Thank you, Shorty. We'll have a chat to you same time next week. Take care.
Pleasure, guys. Good punting.
Good on you, David Short there. Those with the touch, choose Tab Touch. Better your bet and download the Tab Touch app today. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858. Let's get into our Chase for Charity brought to you by Greyhounds WA. We're joined by James Broadhurst. James, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Good to be with you. Yeah, going well, thanks.
You haven't spoken for a couple of weeks. How are we going before we get into the talking points with Skeets in our Chase for Charity? Are we putting some money in the bank?
Yeah, inching ahead, which is always nice. I haven't had it landed a big one for a while, but certainly money going into the kitty, which is where it needs to be going, and all for a good cause, of course.
Okay, let's jump straight into a huge weekend of chasing. Friday, Mandurah, final of the Great Western.
Yeah, it's a couple of nice feature races we've got coming up this weekend. Of course, Great Western down there on Friday night. Nice little feature over the 405-metre journey. Guys, pretty even contest on paper. Weston Cobra comes in as the fastest qualifier. Now, he beat Orson Assassin in their heat clash, and they come together in the final. Those two dogs are out of boxes one and two. There's also a dog in box three here, Bromine, which all three of those very capable of finding the lead here. So it could be some early fireworks in this one. We saw a nice heat win also from Gangnam Manelli. That dog's in box four. So if anything happens up front, Gangnam Manelli could be sweeping at the end there and cleaning them up. But hard one to read. I think if Weston Cobra can repeat the dose from last week, get to the lead, he's probably one I favour. But yeah, tough contest, that one.
And what about Cannington on Saturday, the final of the Group 3 Paradise Street Trophy?
Yeah, another good race, this one. We've been talking about momentum a lot over the past couple of months. Well, he came in to this series last week. There may be a question mark or two about whether he'd be able to run the 600-metre distance after racing mainly over the 520. Had no problems in his heat last week. He comes into the final as the fastest qualifier. He's a really top-class greyhound. He got tested in his heat, fair to say. He had a greyhound on his tail for the entire journey. Had every excuse to give up the ghost, but didn't do so. Finished the race strongly and comes into the final as the dog to beat. Are some other good dogs in this one, though. I thought Amplify was also pretty impressive when she had her first look at the distance last week. She's quick early and a likely leader here on Saturday night. We've got Throttle, a dog we've mentioned a bit. He's a young dog coming up. Had his colours lowered to Soda Seville in their heat, but certainly can recover. So, yeah, once again, a lot of nice dogs in this one. I do favour Momentum, though. He is the hot dog at the moment.
Okay, let's jump into your best bets, JB. Mandra, then Cannington.
Yeah, for Mandra on Friday night, guys, I'm heading towards race 5, number 2, Marcus Road. So this greyhound's had a couple of starts here in WA. He's placed on both occasions, but it's been pretty handy runs on both times. He gets an inside draw here, which certainly helps him. I think he leads this one. There are a couple of dogs out wide in this race which might be able to catch him if they get the right run. But look, I think if he leads this one, he's certainly halfway towards winning it. I like him to break through for his debut win here in WA. So that's race 5, number 2, Marcus Road. And for Cannington on Saturday night, heading to a race early in the program, race 2, number 4, Hinto, a dog I've been on quite a bit of late. Really like him. He's had a few problems with his jumps out of the boxes, but the last 2 weeks he's been a lot better. In fact, last week he was absolutely superb. Pinged the lid. No surprises. He's been able to sort his problem out here that he's gone on to win his last couple. I think he brings up the hat-trick there at Cannington on Saturday night. So that's race 2, number 4, Hinto.
Brilliant, JB. Thank you very much for your time, mate. We'll have a chat to you same time next week.
Thanks, guys.
James Broadhurst there from Greyhounds WA. Now, Skeet, which way are you going in the chase for charity racing against motor neurone disease tonight?
We got a collect last week, which is nice. Small fish, mind you, but we'll take it and run. So race 5, number 2, I know it's an omen bet, but Marcus Road has to be 25 each way just to keep the ball rolling. As JB said, being placed a couple of times, so hopefully he can go a little better and get the job done tomorrow night.
All right, I'm going to take a chance on the beak this time. Nova Nugget was so unlucky last start and I think can rebound in dominant fashion. So $50 on the nose. Race 4, number 5, Nova Nugget for Carl in the chase for charity. And let's hope that we can put some money in the kitty for motor neurone disease this week, because it's been a big couple of weeks when you think about Neil Danaher and what they've been able to do, Skeet. I think it was $19.5 million, wasn't it, that they raised in the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, extraordinary effort. And that day and that momentum that Neil Danaher and his whole team has started and created has become one of the most iconic sporting day/charity fundraisers in the country.